Hello, this is Joe Tomalin for Fringe Review, and today I'm talking to a performer who is also a writer, and she is going to be performing her show at the Edinburgh Fringe 2021. So please introduce yourself.
Hello there, Joe. My name is Lubna Kher. I am an actress, a stand-up comedian, writer, and in a previous life, I used to sell drugs.
Well, that's a good lead in there. Let's start with the writing. would you call yourself more a writer or more a performer, or is there an equalizing at this point?
I suppose I've been doing performing longer than I've been doing writing. I've been writing all my life. I used to write a diary when I was a child, so I've always had something to say. I'm never short of an opinion. So it really depends what I have been writing all my life. I've been performing all my life, but professionally, I would say I was a performer, an actress first. I did it, chronologically, I became a performer, a stand-up comedian, and then a writer. And in a previous life, I actually am a pharmacist, which is why I said I sell drugs, but I don't.
Okay. So as a performer, let's go with a little bit
Sure.
chronologically. What made you get w want to be a performer?
So when I was younger, when I was about 6 or 7, I was taken to the Brownies. Because my parents were Pakistani, and they wanted me to, integrate into the local Scottish culture. So somebody had said to them, "Oh, the Brownies was a good place to go," and I was like, "Oh my goodness, I'm going to meet my brown sisters." You imagine my disappointment? But it was there that I first found my love of acting, because the brown owl was like, well, let's just say she would make Priti Patel look like Doris Day. She was like one of those really, oh my God, terrifying people. And she used to write these stories, and then she'd give us parts. So that's when I realized that I loved to perform, and I had quite a good memory. That was at the age of 6, and then I performed school plays, Brownies, all the way up to the age of 16. But my parents were both academics, so the thought of saying to them, "Do you know what? Do you know what? I'm gonna just do this acting lark." No, it didn't come into expectations. Expectations of your family, your community, your teachers led me to become a pharmacist. And then about 2010, when my children were all grown up, I did a PhD as well. Three children, PhD, all the usual things. I've ticked all the boxes. And then in 2010, I found myself being single again, and I thought, what did I want to do? And then I remembered that I used to really enjoy drama, and I went to community drama, and the rest, as they say, is history. I loved it,
Wow.
absolutely loved it.
And then what about how did you start writing?
How did I start writing? In 2000, well, I wanted to tell my mum's story, because Tick Box is about my mum's story and my story. And in 2017, there was a theatre directors, a Scottish theatre directors meeting, and I went to that meeting. I'm not a theatre director, but it's a great place to network. And on the way back, I gave somebody a lift back. And Sarah Rose, I was just telling her the story of my mum, and she said, "Do you know, that'd be a great story to write." And that was in 2017, and I thought, okay. So I just started the process of putting something down on paper. And then, as I said earlier, I've been writing all my life. I've got a PhD, I've got a master's, I know how to write scientific stuff. I've written numerous research protocols, and I've written diaries over the years. And also writing stand-up. So I retrained to do acting in 2010, and then 2013, I actually did the Laughing Horse comedy course, where I had to do my first gig. And then from 2013 onwards, I was writing my own comedy sets. So I'd been writing all that time. And then in 2017, when I spoke to Sarah, and she said, write your mum's story. I was like, oh, okay. So it took me a couple of years, and then Creative Scotland put this call out. They were trying to get more people of diverse backgrounds, whatever your diversity was, with disability or sexuality or, you know, colour, race, ethnicity, sex, whatever. They wanted more people to apply. So they had this very specific fund. And so I applied to that fund and I got the money. So I wrote a 20-minute script of Tick Box in 2019.
Okay. And Tick Box is the show that you're presenting next week onwards.
Yeah. So what happened, I did two performances in 2019 and I was really keen to engage with. So I've been going to the theatre all my life. My parents took me to the theatre, school took me. I'm so sorry about this. And my phone is on silent, but it's a guy at Bumble that's calling me.
Has like, a mind of its own.
So I did a 20-minute play then, and I wanted to engage with the local Pakistani community. And I'm like, why don't they come to the theatre? So I did some small research in 2019. I did two performances, and the woman that I did the research with, I invited them along to see the performances, and they just loved it. And we did this thing called LRP, where you get an independent person comes along and asks the audience what they thought. And there's a very specific process. So it's feedback. And then I used that feedback to write, okay, well, how can I improve the play? And then in 2020, I'd filled in the next stage of the Creative Scotland application form. And then, well, you know what happened. So I spent the rest, and then Creative Scotland brought out a new form. So I had to start the whole process all over again. So in May this year, 2021, I finally got a full grant to write Tick Box, a whole full-length hour show play. And I'm blessed, absolutely, totally, totally blessed. And then in the summer after I got that, the army at the Fringe were looking to support some performers, and you had to apply, and they picked five, and I'm one of them, and I'm so lucky. Honestly, I'm just so, so lucky. I have Creative Scotland, and then I've got the army behind me, and it's just brilliant.
Yes, and your show is going to be in person.
Correct. Absolutely, me live on stage.
Yes.
And I have been rehearsing. And do you know what, Joe? It's going to be the first time since February 2020 that I will have been in front of a live audience. I mean, I've done lots of Zoom gigs over, you know, lots of comedy, rehearsed reading, all sorts of Zoom gigs. I've done them over the past 18 months. But this will be the first time. And we still have to wear, well, I don't, but the audience still has to wear masks when they're inside. So it's going to be really strange because I won't be able to see their expressions, now, unless they raise their eyebrows a lot, you know, or shake their shoulders, so I can see their shoulders going, do like a Teddy joke, you know. And so it's going to be, you know, as a performer, you, even though it's a play, it's a play, it's a drama with some comedy through it. So you're looking for the jokes to land. And normally you would then pause and wait, you know, and so my director, Johnny McKnight, absolutely, honestly, a wonderful director, absolutely brilliant guy. I've never worked with him before. I'll always work with him. He's just great. So he was saying to me, you've got to get ready for that, Lubna, because you're a stand-up comedian. You'll be waiting for the gags to land. You're not going to get that laughter because it'll be muffled. So you just need to carry on. So I think that's what the challenge is going to be, Joe. But yes, in person, from the 17th of August to the 22nd of August at 6 p.m. in East Claremont Street, Hepburn House, which is part of the Army's drill hall.
Yes, and you talked earlier about writing comedy. Yeah. So, and now you're writing drama that sounds like it has some comedy in it. Well, what's the main difference? I think you alluded to it a little with the timing, but what's the difference between writing for your comedy show and then Now segueing into a dramatic show.
So for comedy, somebody I think once said something like, I don't know, every 30 seconds there has to be a joke. You know, every third line joke, every third. And it can be a small joke building up to a big joke. So it can be part of a story where you've got small joke, small joke, small joke, oh, huge joke at the end, right? So every time you're writing comedy, it's like, where can I get a gag in? Where can I put a joke in? Can I make a wee joke that was that funny? You know, so whereas in drama, you're storytelling. You're telling a story. And I believe that actually if you bring humour into the story, the message that you're trying to get across will land better. So it doesn't need to be, oh, woe is me. You know, it doesn't need to be. The story itself will land better if you instill some humour through it.
How much of a character or characterization comes into both? So when you're doing stand-up comedy, are you playing yourself or do you think of yourself as an extension? And then now in this new show, mm-hmm. Tick Box, are mm-hmm. you a character even though it's your story? Yeah. How do you hang the ideas and the language?
So when I do stand-up comedy, I do lots of different characters, not at the same time. Sometimes I can just be me, hello, it's Libna, you know, or sometimes I'll play one of my Asian stereotypes, Auntie, hello, how are you? Nice to see you. You know, I've been here for a long time. Where have you been? Are you married yet? You know, the usual auntie that says all the most inappropriate questions. So I have a few different characters that I play about with when I'm doing comedy. And then depending on, so on Friday night, I'm doing a 5-minute set for the army and I haven't decided which character I'm going to play. So whatever character I'm going to play in comedy has a way of speaking, has a tone, has a, you know, her jokes are along a certain line. So once I inhabit that character in comedy, everything I write is through her eyes. In drama, in Tick Box, it's semi-autobiographical story, about my mum and dad's journey from Pakistan, from very middle-class life in Pakistan to govern in Glasgow, which is the opposite. And I call it semi-autobiographical because the facts are true. They came over here. My father did a scholarship to do a PhD, but it's the dialogue is what is made up. Some of the dialogue is made up because I wasn't old enough to remember. Wasn't around at the time. But I have a feel for, I know what it was like. I know the casual racism that existed and I know what it was like for my mum and dad because we heard them speak about it. So, and I have, I play all the different characters and so I play my mum, I play myself. My mum has an accent. All of the characters have different accents. So I play my mum and she speaks like this. I've been here for a long time. Look, now you know you shouldn't go to the races on your own. So, and then I've got Jeannie who is like, oh, hey, are you no cold in those clothes? So that's your Glaswegian. And then I've got Brownell. Look, now you will play the role of Audrey. Learn your lines by next week. You know, so each character speaks in a certain way. It's got a certain tone. It's got a body. It's, you know, it's the physicality. Jeannie is like more squeezed up, you know, and my mum is very, she's a very proud woman, you know, and Brownell is proud but sort of standing back because she's in a teacher-y way, you know. So each character has got, I'm telling you, your job, Joe. Each character, like I'm teaching you. Each character has got their own characteristics.
Yeah.
And their own voice.
Great. I wanted to ask in the show, in the play, Tick Box, do you mm-hmm. have any costumes or little things that you use other than the physicality and the voice? Because I am imagining that in your other genre, in the stand-up, you don't use props or costume bits or anything. But is there anything in the theatrical version of Tick Box?
There was in the first one. So the one in 2019, which we filmed, which you can see online, because Edinburgh Multicultural Festival asked me to do a version of it and they filmed it. So the 20-minute version, you can see that is online. So in that show, in that play, that was the second version. The first version I did live on stage, which I think you can get 2 minutes of, I had a brown owl hat. You know, Jeannie had an apron, you know, and she had one of those bandanas, upside down bandanas that they would wear. You know, and my mum had a shawl that looked like a sari. So yes, I did for the first two. But Johnny, my director, is like, no, I don't want any of that, He's like, nope, it's all about you now. You just gotta change your body, and you know. And that's actually more challenging, Joe, because when you've got a prop, you rely on that prop. Oh look, I am now brown owl. You know, whereas it actually all has to be about you. And how you stand and how you speak and everything, your physicality, your manner, your tone, your volume, your projection, just everything it's so. And I think that's more challenging than actually having the props.
Do you use the space? Because I'm imagining that your stage space when you do this show has enough space to move around.
Yes, we definitely use the space, because there's a depending on where I'm standing, each character's got their space. And so my mum has a very specific space, but she also then does wander. Myself as a child, I have a very specific space. There's a teacher in it as well, Mr. Connolly. He's leans on the desk, so that's his. And then there's a bit where I'm talking about my dad, and I sit in a chair. And there's a bit where I am a schoolgirl, and I am in a race. So I'm on the ready, steady, go. But you know, so the whole stage will be used. The whole stage will be used for it. So it's, honestly, I'm really loving the rehearsal. I'm loving it. Loving being back on stage, but I'm also terrified. I'm thinking, oh my God, how am I going to remember all these lines? You know? And like, just being on stage again after a year and a half.
Yes, it must be, a bit daunting in a way, but exciting too.
Yeah, absolutely. Very exciting. Yeah. Very exciting.
Well, what about after this show? Perhaps, do you think you'll be able to tour it, or will it have a life after the Fringe?
Absolutely, because the story is also about migration. It's about a couple, a young couple, migrating with their children to another country where the language was different, the culture was different, everything was different. Now that could apply to yourself moving across. You migrated to San Francisco, you know. It could be Scottish people going to Australia. It could be Indian people going to Canada. You know, the story is about migration, so it actually relates to everybody. It just happens to be about Pakistani people. You know, we've got a better tan than you, that's the only difference. Otherwise, the story is about migration. Yeah. And a mother and daughter story. So yes, Creative Scotland are bringing out the touring fund. So I want to tour it I want to do the whole run next year in the Fringe. Because it's only 6 days, so because of COVID, it's only been 6 days. Next year, I want to do 21 nights, whatever the full run is. And then after that, I want to tour it around Scotland. And then somebody from the northwest of England, the rural communities in the northwest, got in touch with me. Because I went to a conference last February before lockdown, the Scottish Federation of Theatre Conference. And the rural communities, both in Scotland and England, were like, oh, please come, please come, please come. We love this. So the ladies got in touch with me, Kate, and she's going to come and see the show. And she's asked me to apply to do the tour. So yes is the answer. It's going to tour worldwide. It's going to tour.
Great. And finally, now that you've dipped your toe into dramatic writing and performing, do you think there'll be another a sequel or another show?
I've already started writing my second play. It's called Bella and Max. Totally different, not autobiographical. And it's, again, about relationships, but it's about a boy and a man who was bullied by his mum and becomes a narcissist. And how does that How does the early stages of his development as a child impact on him growing up and his relationships in life? So totally different. There's no humour in that yet. Totally different. And I'm loving it. You know, I love telling stories, Jo. I love telling stories. You can probably tell, you know.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to speak to us today. And the best of luck for your run.
You're very welcome. Thank you so much. And I hope to see you in person next year.
Well, I hope to be there. Well, fingers crossed. Thank you.